And by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commandments and hold fast their testimony about Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. So this sermon is about 80% Gray's and 20% my edits. So if you don't like it, you can talk to him. We'll assume it's the 80% that's wrong. Gray was going to open his sermon with this story from his perspective about our trip to Riverside Hospital when I was in labor with Simon. And he was scared about whether we would make it to the hospital in time, but I was scared and wondering if we would end up having to pull over into a farmhouse lane because I really didn't think we were going to make it. Even with the progress of modern medicine, childbirth can be scary. I'm sure each of you know stories in your own family or from friends. And perhaps this is why John, in his fantastical visions from Revelation, used the image of this celestial woman in the pangs of childbirth to illustrate the way God is working or about to work in our world. Bringing new life into this world is never easy. It's a precarious and risky proposition. And the forces of chaos and death always seem so close at hand and ready to pounce. It's why you worry all the time you're pregnant. It's why you wake up every 20 minutes to check and see if the baby is still breathing. It's why you yell at your toddler not to run into the streets or to stick their fingers or other objects into outlets, as our case might be. And I hear it doesn't get any easier as your children grow into teenagers and then even as they're adults. As parents, you're always worried about this life you have created and feel responsible for. Feels like maintaining life is something you have to work at. And you might guess I'm not just talking about having children. Men can give birth to new life. Those with no children still birth new life. New life comes in many forms. Sobriety, marriage, divorce, death of a loved one, faith, a big project at work, volunteer efforts to make a difference in the community, any kind of artwork, generosity, retirement, the list could go on and on. Anytime you invest in something new, you're taking a risk. You might fail. It might not work. Investing in something new makes you vulnerable to the forces of chaos that swirl around us. And you know that. You know it doesn't take much for something new to completely fall apart on you. You know that failure is much more likely than success. I'll tell you, every day at my work feels like this. We're trying to rebuild the seminary. And there's so much potential, and there's these little signs of hope that good things are happening, that we're making a difference, that success is within our reach. But at the same time, it constantly feels like at any moment it could all just crumble. And there are setbacks that make it feel almost impossible. Last January was so hard, right after we merged and had to start all these new systems and new IT and new everything. So I decided to do something encouraging. I got a bag of those little fuzz balls and I got a jar and I said, this is our win jar. And anytime we have a win, we're going to put a fuzzy in the jar and we're going to watch them build. And we can all define win however we need to. It can be a little thing or a big thing. So like my email work today, that's a win in the jar. Or I helped this student through a really challenging situation at their internship. That could be a fuzzy in the jar. And little by little, the jar would fill and fill, and it was a bit encouraging, but also there were days when something just totally fell apart and it took all I had not to just dump the jar over and say, we've got to start over. All of this is wrapped up in Revelation 12. The cosmic woman, clothed in the sun, standing on the moon, symbolizing her power and her status. She's pregnant. She's about to give birth. She's going to bring new life into the world. She is powerful and strong and capable, but she's also vulnerable. And success is not guaranteed. And to make it worse, there's this dragon sitting there ready to snatch up the new life that she is trying to birth. I wonder if you ever feel like there's a dragon just waiting to snatch up your successes. Many scholars believe that this woman in Revelation represents the children of Israel, the people out of which Jesus would be born. The people of Israel were this pregnant woman, and that they were foolish enough to hope for a Messiah even when they were surrounded by evil and chaos. The evil and chaos, of course, are personified in Revelation 12 as an enormous red dragon with seven heads and a tail powerful enough to knock the stars out of the sky. This dragon has bad intentions, seeking to devour the child just as it is about to be born. And it's what this dragon represents that makes us question, why do we even bother trying to bring something new into the world? Why struggle against the dragon? It's too powerful. It's too strong. Why bother helping the poor or the addicted or the sick or the oppressed? The forces of death and destruction will always overwhelm us. Why bother? Why feed the hungry when they'll just get hungry again? Why pour your life into educating children when there's no guarantee they'll graduate and do anything with that education? Why give our time and money to help people if they just end up making bad choice after bad choice? Or my personal existential angst, why bother carrying around those reusable shopping bags when the ocean is filling with plastic anyway, right? There's so many moments where our good efforts feel futile. We ask, will we have anything to show for them? Why even begin? If it's not worth fighting for it, if we can't win. But Revelation 12 tells us a different story. Revelation 12 says that red dragon with its seven heads and its tail, it's just a paper tiger. God is actually in control. The dragon is defeated by the slain lamb, the child of the cosmic woman. The dragon is thrown down to the earth, and even the earth helps to overcome the dragon. John wants his readers to recognize that we're the rest of her offspring who are here on earth, mentioned in verse 17. And we may be under siege by the dragon. We may be suffering under the chaos, but the dragon is not more powerful than God. The dragon does not get the final say. We must persevere. That is what I think John is articulating with this. The struggle is worth it. Even on the days you want to take the wind jar and tip it over. On the surface, it may seem hopeless, a fool's errand to confront the forces of chaos in our community, in our world, an attempt to try to help bring forth new life in them. And there are a lot of days we don't see the result of our efforts. But God knows. God knows our efforts. God is with us in our efforts. and our efforts are not wasted. Our attempts are not worthless. When we share the witness of Christ, the way of love and grace, we show the dragon its proper place. We align ourselves with the power of hope and faith rather than cynicism and despair, and it is a struggle daily. Yet God is with us. God is there to protect the new life that is being born. Each morning, each hour, each minute, we often feel caught between these two opposite poles, the lamb or the dragon, hope or gloom, love or indifference, openness or fear. And some days the dragon of chaos seems to get the best of us. We might even lose a few rounds to the mess of this world. There's no doubting that. But love will prevail. Grace will prevail. All tears will be wiped away. And that's a plug for next week. I'll be preaching next week on all the tears that are wiped away. There will be a day when pain and suffering is gone, and the dragon will be no more. And only God and the Lamb can light our way forward to this day. So let us cling to the Lamb who is Jesus Christ, who is with us in the muck and the mess, who is drawing us forward, and who makes our efforts so they are not in vain. Amen.